The elections are historic in that they're a move towards democracy in a country that has never genuinely had competitive election. And so, to the extent that they can do so with a country of a population of 110 million people, that's a big deal and an important inflection point potentially for Ethiopian history. It also set a precedent for how leaders at all levels of Ethiopia's federal system should be selected. And so it has the potential to add more voice and participation in Ethiopia's electoral process than it's ever had before. So it is highly historic. At the same time, as you note, there are many complicating factors in Ethiopia. All transitional elections are complicated, and this one is even more so by the fact that you have the conflict in Tigray. And so that is preventing any participation from that region. You have the unfolding famine in the north. You have the genie of ethnic federalism that was released by the previous government, and which has amplified and incentivized ethnic divisions in the country. And so you're having these historical elections while at the same time you have all these fragmenting pressures on the country and challenges just to keep it together. So there's a lot to navigate and be a lot to try to unpack as we see the outcome from the elections.
Despite Abiy Ahmed's pledges of fair and free elections, there were growing international concerns over whether the elections will be fair. The European Union has said it will not observe the vote after its request to import communication equipment were denied by the Ethiopian government. Last week, the United States State Department said it is gravely concerned about the environment under which these elections are being held, citing detention of opposition politicians, harassment of independent media, partisan activities by local and regional governments, and the many inter-ethnic and intercommunal conflicts across Ethiopia. How could that impact the legitimacy of these elections?
Well, to the extent that the elections are not seen as free and fair by Ethiopians, it will undermine the potential legitimacy-enhancing benefits that the elections could bring to the government, whichever government emerges from these elections. I think it is important to recognize that the federal government is fending off several armed separatist movements during these elections, and some of these armed movements have vowed to try to undermine the electoral process. So there are, a number of extenuating circumstances for multiple sides that are affecting the inclusiveness of these elections. And so I think we should go into these elections expecting them to be far from perfect. I think it's also important to recognize that if the government were to delay the election again, then they would also come in for a lot of criticism as having prolonged their time in power unconstitutionally. And so I think the key question we want to be looking at is, are these elections qualitatively more participatory and more transparent than what Ethiopia has had in the past? In other words, are they moving in the right direction? In this way, I'm reminded of the sequence of events we observed in Nigeria following their 1999 move towards multipartyism. And, those first few elections after its shift towards democratic systems did not go that well. There were a lot of criticisms for them not meeting international standards, yet they got better each time and they became increasingly competitive. By 2015, we actually saw change in parties through the electoral process. So I think in Ethiopia's case, the key question is, are we moving in the right direction towards precedence and better standards for more competitive and participatory electoral processes?